For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 28th, 1994. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon of Jacksonville, Illinois, is the speaker of the afternoon. David Brogdon is going to come and minister this afternoon. He's from up in my country. We were born, raised just a few miles apart. I was born in Springfield, and he's born in Jacksonville, Illinois. Over there, we're farm boys.
Amen.
And we're just happy to have him. David's going to cause you to search this afternoon a little bit. Come on, Brother David. And we're going to find out this afternoon if you've made a covenant with life or if you've made a covenant with death.
Amen.
Okay? Brother Brogdon.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's good to be among brother and sister that love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be where the anointing of God is. I believe the Lord is drawing us together, and there's going to be more and more anointing. I need to tell this here, a little story that happened. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. So we got together and we prayed as an assembly. And we said, Holy Spirit, you do what you want to do. We do this every week anyway, but special, this, whatever you want to do. Touch people's lives. You touch them, not man. You touch them. And as we began to pray, we began to get into praise. And I hear you had some of that last night. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It was tremendous praise. After it was done, we still allowed the Spirit of God to move. People fell to their knees. People repented of things that they had done. Some people were touched and they were just super joyous, whatever the Spirit of God did for them. Some were touched in a special way. My wife, who's not here today, but I asked her, I said, how did the Lord Jesus Christ, or how did the Spirit of God touch you? She said, I have never felt love like I felt at that time. And I had never felt like wanting to love the Lord like I'd ever had. She's just a deep love within me. Just welled up. But everybody was touched. With me, it was different. It was as though fire was burning on my head. Just tremendous fire. And I was standing there. We had the air conditioner turned, and it was going as fast as it could go. And it was cool enough in there anyway. But the fire began to burn. And as it began to burn, it just came from the top of my head down through my body. And I began to sweat, just drops fell. But I thought it was drops of sweat. But as I began to look, it was a lot thicker than sweat. It was an anointing. Anointing I'd never experienced. I'd never experienced this before. And I fell to my knees before God. And I allowed Him to do the work, whatever He wanted to do. We have a brother in our ministry that God is raising up. And I believe in a prophetic way. Perhaps as a prophet. But he gave a pure word of the Lord. And with that word, he came over to me and said, I believe you're to minister to all the people now. And as I began to minister, I'd never experienced this, as I began to touch the people. And the Spirit of God would not let me touch them any place other than on their minds. Other than on their heads. And that's where I reached. I would just reach and touch their minds and their head. And the Spirit of God, I could feel such power. I'm in the electrical field anyway, and I know what kind of power a man can put out, but this was a different kind of power that was surging. Literally surging, just like there was a generator attached to my body and just surging. And people were getting set free. And God did some tremendous things. And I told my wife, I've been pondering on that all week. And even now, my hands are still feel, even all last week, my hands still feel like there's oil all over them, just an anointing. I don't know if any of you other ministers or anyone else in the body has ever felt that or know what I'm talking about. But it was awesome. And there's no words that can really describe it. So the Spirit of God is moving in a special way today to do things. And I believe that if we as men just step away, step out of the side, and let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost, He'll do whatever needs to be done. I know we've all been praying in the body of Christ, or should be praying, that the Spirit of God would do something today in this land. In America, I know He's been doing works in other parts of in other countries, but specifically in America, beginning to turn hearts back to Him. You know, I believe the church has taken their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and put their eyes upon man, but the Spirit of God is moving and turning that around and bringing the focus back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a little sermonette. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord right quick. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus, that name that's above all names. We submit ourselves to You now this day for the teaching, for the word that goes forth. We ask You, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, to open up our mind to receive the engrafted word of God this day, to change us into the very likeness of Your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we give You free rein to do so whatsoever You desire. We ask that we just open up ourselves to hear from You and to move as You want us to move. But we ask it in Jesus' name this day. We ask You now to break up our fallow ground, that the seed of the Word and can be planted and perhaps even be watered even this day. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A few weeks ago, the Lord had me, I had listened to a tape of a brother's, and in this particular tape, he was talking about covenants. Well, probably some of you have studied covenants, and you know, God is a covenant maker. He makes covenants with His people. We're in covenant one with another through the blood of Jesus Christ. You believe that? Scripturally, that's what the Word, we're going to get to that. But as I was listening, I began to get a different revelation on covenants and seeing how we in the body of Christ have made covenants one with another and broken them. And because we have made covenants one with another and broken them, it's not Satan that's after us. It's God that's against us. It is God that's against us. And I'm going to take you through some scriptures this day and show you some things in the Word of God. And then we're going to pray afterwards and see the Lord release you from these things. That's what you want, isn't it? You probably wondered in some of your walks and in your walk with the Lord, why are these things happening to me? Perhaps some of us that's older in the Lord, we've known about curses that have been in our lives and in our generations, and we've broken them, but yet there's still things going on. And I believe it's this, that we have broken covenant one with another. You know, it's the knowledge of the Word of God that begins to set us free. Look with me, if you would, over to Luke. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 14. And it says here, and he was casting out the devil that was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devil. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. And he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Wherefore shall they be your judges? But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. You know, we have been teaching in our ministry, the Spirit of God had me at the first of the year begin to teach on the armor of God. and how to use it not only as a defensive weaponry, but also offensively. One of the first things that we know that we must do when we get into deliverance is to begin to bind the strong man, to bind the devil. Notice prior to this, in the Word of God here, we find that there are disciples of Jesus Christ that tried to cast out a devil, but it didn't move. It didn't leave. You know, sometimes perhaps you've tried to cast out a devil, but it didn't leave. Perhaps you had some sort of sickness and you prayed about it, but you still had that sickness. And I believe it's because we're not disarming the devil. We're not taking from him his armament. The devil has armament. We need to disarm him. The word Beelzebub there means Lord of the flies, or the dung god, or the god of filth. And that's what he is. He's the god of filth in your mind. He's captivated your minds. And I believe as I've been throughout many places in Christendom, inside the United States and outside, I see one thing, that the minds of the Christians are captivated by something besides the Word of God. Right. Have you ever tried to get out of a trap that the enemy has set for you? You can't get out of it. The issue here that Jesus is talking about is there is a strong one, but there is a stronger one. Jesus Christ being the stronger one. He said, if I with the finger of God do cast out devils, know that the kingdom of God is among you. And as we see that today, as we come together today, specifically in this particular place, where it's one of the few in the United States where they actually do ejection, casting out of devils. One of the few, really. Now, I'm sure churches that do it some around, but as far as campgrounds and things, Christian campgrounds, Christian meetings, people coming together, this is one of the few that I know of that do that. John says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one, Jesus, lives within us, doesn't he? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we'll deal with that later. You need to have the greater one living within you. You know, I have found that we do not bind the devil by what we say, but by what we do. You know, a lot of times I go to a lot of ministries and say, I bind you, devil, come out. And that's it. Well, there's no follow through. And I believe that the people are never set free. They're never set free. But we have to do something. We have to loose our faith, and we have to begin to use the Word of God as we begin to extract these demons from people's lives in the name of Jesus. We are bound by the action of the Word of God. It's that Word of God that begins to do the work. And the more we use the Word of God to liberate people, the more we're going to see liberated. Amen? We can only bring the devil to desolation when we take his armament off. Let's look here in Mark. Over to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to see something here. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14, and I'm going to read a little bit to you. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And all the times that have cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, and if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now notice what the father says. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that people come together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that he said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. You see, we've been taught, and there have been many teachings on this particular scripture, but I believe we can all agree on this one thing. It was unbelief that kept this young boy from being delivered. And notice one thing also that Jesus asked, that it doesn't tell us in the Word of God here, but Jesus asked this question. How long ago is it since this came unto him? Jesus was wanting to know something there. He was wanting to find out. See, this was the sins of the fathers that came into the Son. It perhaps missed him, but it came into his Son. You know, in the day here that this was written, the scriptures were written, if your father was a scribe, you more than likely were a scribe. If your father was a carpenter, more than likely you would be a carpenter. You see, and things were passed down from generation to generation. But this man, who was a scribe, had unbelief in his heart. And he couldn't believe that the disciples could do anything. And he actually had unbelief in his heart that Jesus could do anything. But Jesus asked this all-important question. How long ago is it since this came unto you? Jesus wanted to know. And he saw when the man said of a child, he knew right then and there that it was inherited. Sins of the fathers had come down. And this young man had inherited this. And unbelief keeps us bound from believing the Word of God. Here was the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ, and the man still had trouble believing him. He says, help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Look with me, if you would, over to Exodus chapter 20. And I'll keep you running through the Word of God, but that's all right. We need to know where some of these things are at, don't we? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. This is what Jesus saw here. And this here, chapter 20, starting in verse 1, speaks of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. But this is what it says in verse 5. But thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Going up further in verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven, or that is in the earth, and the ether, that is in the water under the earth, and have no other gods before me. You see, the Israelites at this time, they had other gods. And it was because of this, the sin was passed down. There was iniquity in the family line. And it happened that this generation, the iniquity was coming out in the fullest in this son. And he was demonized. Now, Galatians chapter 3, 13 says, we're delivered from the curse of the law. But it doesn't come automatic. We're delivered from the curse of the law. Were you born again automatic? No. You had to do something, didn't you? You had to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is, and he was the Son of God, that he rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. And he sits on the right hand of the Father. You had to believe that, didn't you? You had to believe unto salvation. You had to believe it. You had to act upon it. You had to confess. So, as with salvation, so with healing. Sometimes you're not healed, are you? But you need to go to the Lord. You need to confess, Lord, I know that it is written, by your stripes I am healed. Yes. Confessing the Word of God, the very Word of God. And as you could, one of the ladies in our particular ministry, she says, you know, when something comes upon me, first I look upon myself to see where I've erred in any way with the Scriptures. And then if that sickness still persists, I would do just like a doctor would do. The doctor gives you a prescription. He says, take these pills. And on the prescription it says, take one pill every 3 hours. She says, I take the Scriptures every 3 hours. I take the Word of God every 3 hours. And she has some various scriptures she showed me on healing. as she recites those scriptures every 3 hours. She said, you know, it's not long before I'm healed. It's not long before I'm healed because I'm reciting the very Word of God. And so that's the RX, if you would, for Christians is the Word of God. The prescription for healing is the Word of God. Is begin to take that. We have to do it. It doesn't come automatic. As with deliverance, it doesn't come automatic, does it? We have to ask. We have to see the need that we need to be set free. Amen? Now, I see that there are three things that the devil can do to get to us. And he's done a good job. Three things. One of the things is, perhaps early in our life, we made a covenant with the devil. Ungodly covenant. The other thing is, I see that we have broken covenants that we have made, either with God or with people. The third thing is, I see that there are curses, either pronounced curses or curses that we've inherited from our fathers in the third and fourth generation. And by the way, Dr. Noel did a tremendous job teaching here today and showing some things. There's one thing I want to share with you for the gentlemen and also for the women. I have found, and I've worked with many people, that if you were conceived in fornication or in adultery, you're a bastard. Even though if you were conceived in fornication and your parents eventually married, you're a bastard. Now, this is what it'll do spiritually, and we found this out spiritually. What happens? This is a little pea in the soup here. If you were conceived, you're born again, you come to the place where you're born again and even spirit-filled, you have a hard time getting into the flow and letting the Spirit do things with you. You have a hard time coming into the presence of God. We had several people that had come, and this happened a number of years ago where this one lady came up to me. She says, you know, I've been through the deliverance and things, but I'm having the hardest time in praise and worship, getting into the presence of God. I'm having the hardest time studying and getting into the Word of God. And I don't understand that. Why is that? I took her to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 2. It says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter to the congregation of the Lord. As that was true naturally, spiritually, I found that they couldn't enter in until the curse was broken in their life. Then they could begin to enter in. Now, if you're in the era that I was born in, some of you may be, some of you may be not, perhaps. But in my era, the parents kept their mouth shut. If there was a conception out of wedlock, they got married, but they kept their mouth shut. And so when you begin to minister to people in this particular area, and they begin to say, well, my mother and father didn't do this, I say, go back. And we'll pray and just see. We're going to pray with you and break the curse anyway, but just go back and see. And every time, without exception, I have found that the father and the mother conceived the child out of wedlock, but married, yet that was a bastard. Every time. And so that's why they had trouble entering into the things of God. But when we broke the curse of that, we began to see that they were liberated, that they could worship the Lord and not be bound in any way. And there may be some of you that way this day here, and we'll surely pray for that. But I found these three things that the devil can do to get to us. Now, it's a very serious thing with God. Very serious. He does not take it lightly. Let's go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting verse 27. Let's go to 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. There is the blessing that man received. The man was later named Adam, and as we see, his wife was named Eve. But God made a covenant with him. And part of the terms of the covenant, verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. God gave them their food, didn't he? God gave them their food, the herbs and the seeds of the fruit bearing trees that yielded seed. But God told them also, there was one tree that they weren't to eat of. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that. All the others you can eat. So God made a covenant with man. Okay, man, I'm going to bless you. I want you to have dominion over everything that I've created. I'm going to bless you. And I want you to, I'm going to give you divine protection. I'm going to give you divine provision. And I'm going to give you divine peace. But do not partake of this tree. Do not partake of it. God had made a relationship with this man. And this was the covenant that he made with him. We find that in chapter 3, the covenant was broken. And man was what? Cast out of the Garden of Eden. Out of the presence of God. God was able to uphold his end of the bargain, but man didn't. Man failed. Now God says over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you'll turn there, he gives a blessing again. Deuteronomy chapter 7, looking at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a generation. To a thousand generations. Amen. To a thousand generations, he'll keep his covenant. Do you realize what we lost at that time? But God has restored us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a better covenant now. Just as it's a thousand generations, we can keep that. Notice in Genesis there, one of the things that the enemy said, Satan, he said to them, God hath not said. He tempted them. He tempted them with in three areas that's talked about this morning. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We're still being tempted today with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Over in 1 John chapter 2, he says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. If man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Covenant. 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 Adam was cursed of God. He was ejected from the garden. Sin caused him to fall. His sin of not abiding by the covenant. Sin causes us to fall out of relationship with God also. When we fall out of relationship with God, we come into covenant with Satan. He'll make sure that he'll make a covenant with us. He'll do things for us. When we break any covenant, it'll bring a curse upon us. Not a curse from Satan, but a curse from God. There are curses. So then what is required of us when we enter into covenant? Is there some requirements? There are some. Today, God has made provision through his Son, Jesus, to restore us back to covenant relationship. What is a covenant? A lot of people today don't know what a covenant is. A covenant is simply this, agreement, yes. Agreement entered into by two people. If you can agree as touching any one thing, it's agreement. Covenant. When someone comes up to you and says, would you pray for me? Sure, I will. When you say that, you made covenant with them. Now, how many of us have said, sure, I will, but later have not? You broke the covenant that you just made with that brother or sister in the Lord. So God has to stay behind his word, does he not? We enter into these covenants by what we say and by what we do. You know, one of the things that I believe today in America that we enter into covenant with myself personally, when you go to a bank, you get a loan for your home, you sign a piece of paper, you enter into covenant with that bank. And the bank gives the terms, doesn't it? It says, I'll lend you X amount of dollars, but in return, you must pay so much interest and you must, at the same time, make payments of X amount of dollars per month or however you set it up. So you're bound by that covenant. Now, the first time that you break that and you don't make that payment, they have certain rights. They could come literally and take that away from you if you miss one payment. If you read the fine print, most people don't, but if you read it, that's what it is. They could literally come take it from you if they wanted to, but most people don't. They'll work with you or help you in some way. But you've broken the covenant that you made with them. When we go to get married, either go to a judge, a minister, justice of the peace, whatever, and that woman or that man stands next to you, and you're standing before that particular person, whether it be a judge, justice, peace, or minister, you begin to take a vow, don't you? And you take an oath that you're going to perform certain things, and you promise to obey this. You know what? And yes. You promise to obey these certain things. I wonder how many of us have broken that covenant. You know, I'm finding as I begin to do marriages, I'm not putting people in that position to break that covenant. I'm not putting people in a position to do say those particular things if they don't really mean it. You know, you counsel with the people and you talk with them, and you make a agreement that's strictly from the Word of God. Husbands are to love their wives. See, this is a covenant that you enter into. You know, and wives are the same to the husband. But I see so many times, even in this generation here in America, that people take that covenant lightly. And they break that covenant. I don't know the number of times I've read in a paper of people that have gotten married and then 6 months later they're divorced. They broke the covenant, didn't they? And they wonder why they're going through so many problems, having so many trials and having so many things happen to them, yet they've broken the covenant. But I'm going to go on. How many of us have joined the church? We've joined that church, and we went to that church for a while, and it was really great, really wonderful. And then the pastor said something you didn't like. And you said, I don't like that. And maybe the next time he says something else you didn't like. And I don't like that. So in anger, you get up and you walk out and you never go back. You just broke covenant with that church, with those people in there, because you made covenant with them. Now, I come out of a denominational background in which you had to sign a particular piece of paper that you were going to join this particular denomination, and you were going to abide by the various doctrines that they had, and you had to sign your name to that. And what I found was I was bound to these particular doctrines, and I couldn't get a release from that until I went back and asked them to loose me from that covenant that I was in with. And since that, every place that the Lord has taken us, we've left, because the Spirit of God has moved us on, I've asked to be released from the covenant that I was under with these people. And I've been released, so I've been at freedom to go where the Spirit of God wants me to go. But I doubt that many people do that in the body of Christ. A lot of us want to be in God's arms. But I tell you, there's a lot of people that have good intentions in God's army. They get into it for a while, but when it gets tough, they want to get out. How many of you men were in the natural army or whatever, military? When you sign that paper, when you come in, you couldn't get out till you fulfilled that particular time. It's the same with God's army. When you come in, you say, God, I want to be a doing today. I want to be a part of your army. Yet the Spirit of God speaks to you and tells you to do certain things and say, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. You just broke covenant. You just broke covenant. You see how lightly we break these things? When we agree with someone that we'll go to dinner with them or go to a meeting with them or pray for them, and yet we don't do that, we break covenant with them. Because covenant is what? An agreement of two people, isn't it? Anytime there's a disagreement or a conflict in people's lives where they've broken covenant, the devil enters in And he'll cause you to go through the same thing over and over and over again. Because you're cursed of God when you break covenants. This is some basic stuff that we should really have had in the body of Christ, and we wouldn't have had so many problems along the way. Amen? Some basic things. And I believe the basic cause of conflict in the body of Christ and in people's lives is broken covenants. That's brought about the curse. I belong to this fellowship. I belong to Lake Hamilton, or I'm going to do such and such for Lake Hamilton. But you never follow through. You broke covenant. Am I getting that point across? Everybody understand this now? We've broke covenant. I tell people that come to us that want to be married, I says, is the person you're going to marry, are they born again? Are they spirit-filled? If they're not, let's get them here and pray with them. Because if you enter into a covenant with this particular person, and they're not of the same, if they're not born again and they're not spirit-filled, you're going to have problems down the road. If they're in the world, you're going to have problems. So do not marry anyone that's not in covenant with God as you're in covenant with God. We must be in covenant, or it'll bring you into conflict. There's always a penalty when you break a covenant. There are two covenants, and it was spoken of here, it's been spoken of here, and I thank the Holy Spirit for that, that God deals with severely. That's adultery, natural, and adultery, spiritual. God deals with them severely. And we must either keep a covenant or pay a penalty for breaking a covenant. Look with me, if you would. I'm going to show you in the Scripture now about covenants that were broken, that were made and broken, and the severity of what happened. Look with me, if you would, over to Joshua chapter 9. Looking at verse 16, it says there, and it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Sapphira and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. Here we find Joshua, who was deceived. But I think they were kind of a smart people in a way. The Gibeonites, they had heard and they saw that God was with Israel. So they decided to make covenant with them. And they knew if they made covenant that they wouldn't die. Smart people. So they went through, if you look in the first part of Joshua chapter 9, they went through various things to disguise themselves. And they came in there. And we find in verse 11 that... We find in verse 11 that they made league with the Gibeonites, made covenant. That word league is covenant. And so Joshua was bound by the covenant to defend the Gibeonites. And we find throughout the Scriptures that this was a thorn in Israel's side. They had to always defend these Gibeonites because they were bound by the covenant. But I want to take you to something over in 1 Kings chapter 5, and show you something here. I'm going to show you another covenant here. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 12. Here we find Solomon and Hiram, the king of Tyre. And Solomon had talked to Tyre and asked him to, I'm paraphrasing this, ask him to supply the men and the wood and things to build the temple. And we find over in verse 12 of chapter 5, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they too made a league together. They made a covenant together. The covenant was that they were to supply them with food, protect them, protection, of which they did during Solomon's day. Okay. Let's look at Amos 1 and 9. We're going to go backwards now. We're going to find here in Amos 1 and 9. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus. Hiram was king of what? Tyrus? For three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and remembered not the brotherly covenant. What was the covenant? the covenant that Solomon had made with them, the brotherly covenant. They broke the covenant, and they came against the Israelites. And God said he was going to punish them because they broke the covenant. Now let's look over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm running you back and forth, aren't I? 2 Samuel chapter 21. We find here David, the king of Israel. He had been anointed. He'd had his third anointing. He was anointed the king over all of Israel, over the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And we find here in 21, verses 1 and 2, "Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.'" Remember the Gibeonites over in Joshua 9:16? They made a covenant with Israel. They were to protect them and watch over them. There was a blood covenant. A covenant made. I don't think there was any bloodshed, but there's a covenant made between them. But here we find in 2 Samuel chapter 21, there was a curse of famine in the land, and David sought the Lord. And verse 2 says, "And the king called the Gibeonites and said to them, 'Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither of us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What you shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, The man that consumed us, and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them upon the Lord, unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them." Now, here's a problem David entered into. David said, I'm going to give you the 7 sons that are left of Saul. But David had made a covenant with Jonathan. And the covenant that he made with Jonathan was that if something should happen to David, Jonathan would watch over all his family and protect them and provide for them. If something should happen to Jonathan, David would do likewise. So here's David putting himself in a position, having to give, and Jonathan being a son of Saul, having to give a son of Jonathan's, of which he said he would protect. Now, Mephibosheth was a son of Jonathan's. If we look down one more verse, "But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul." David gave 7 sons of Saul, and they were destroyed and killed. But Mephibosheth, he spared. And he ate at the king's house all of his days, and his seed also, all of his days. God, as I said earlier, takes this covenant seriously. If we sin, we're going to do 3 things. I like what our brother said today. You know, give 5s and 3s and 7s. And people remember those things. They remember those things. 3 things that takes place when you break a covenant and you sin. 1, you pay for it. Or 2, your ancestors pay for it. Or 3, Jesus can pay for it. And for myself, I like the last one. Jesus paying for it. Now, some of us in ignorance have done things and broken covenants. But I'm here to stand before you today that as you have heard today and you break covenant hereafter, you'll stand accountable. You'll stand accountable. Anytime you say, I will, or yes, I'll do it, you enter into covenant. Anytime there's an agreement, you enter into covenant. And if you break that covenant, then you'll suffer the consequences thereof. You know, I looked up, what is a curse? You know, we get words and people throw out words on occasion, but there are times that we think we understand what these words mean. But I find more than likely people don't know what they mean. Covenant is agreement of 2. A curse, what's a curse? It's a formula or something made, a statement made against something. A formula or a statement made against something. A formula. You know, that's what witches do. They pronounce formulas upon you. Curses. Now, according to the Word of God, we are of the children of Abraham, are we not? Look at Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to establish something here. Galatians chapter 3. Looking at verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham? So we are the children of Abraham if we believe and have faith. Amen? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through the faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If you're of faith, you're blessed with Abraham. The blessings of Abraham. Now look with me, if you would, over into Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to show you something here. I believe this is where we've erred. Genesis chapter 12. God says something to Abram here. It's before his name was changed to Abraham. It was Abram. And he says to him, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So if we are of the children of Abraham, we're the heirs of promise, why are we cursing one another? Why are we pronouncing formulas against one another? And what I read here in Genesis, he says he'll bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. I see a boomerang effect. When you throw a curse out to a brother or sister in the Lord, it boomerangs and comes back to you. You're wondering why you got problems? Because you're cursing the seed of Abraham. You're cursing the children of faith. Proverbs 26 and 2 in part says, the curse causeless shall not come. Ever wondered why you're having problems? It's because the curses we're pronouncing upon one another. The formulas that we're doing. If we are the seed of promise, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we should not be pronouncing formulas against one another. God will not bless you, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it unless you repent and ask for forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. That's the only way. And stop doing what you're doing. God has called us to be ye holy. Jesus Christ told us to say nothing. Let your conversation be yea, yea, or nay, nay. If you're yea, yeaing, and nay, naying, you're not cursing, cursing. We should be blessing one another. You know, I see that in the body of Christ. We need to be blessing one another. Amen? We pronounce things against one another. We throw curses out against one another, and it boomerangs. It comes right back. Because you're cursing the seed, the children of faith. Amen. 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 Now, the penalties vary, depending upon how we're doing things. But the penalties vary. Now, look with me right quick. We're gonna quit here, but I'm going to pray with you and begin to do some things as the Spirit of God directs. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 26. I believe that many of us have had ancestors that have broken covenants. And as a result, we're cursed thereby. And I believe, according to Leviticus chapter 6, looking at verse 40, 42, to 42, it says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespassed against me, that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. And a lot of us are in the land of our enemies right now, aren't we? If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then the blessing comes. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. God says, confess sin. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40 to 42. 26. Did I say something different? I'm sorry if I did. We need to ask for forgiveness. Not only of our own sins, but the sins of our fathers that have brought this curse upon us. I'm going to give a little quick testimony here of a brother that had come to our ministry that was having problems. And God had me begin to pray for him, and I began to see that these curses were here and that the covenants were broken, and it was broken by his ancestors and things. And he himself had also broken covenants. So we began to pray for him. He's a businessman. He's in business. And as we began to pray and break the covenant, break the curses that come because of the broken covenants, and he began to get in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God began to bless his business. And I'm telling you, this man went, you know, he went from a small amount of money per week to almost 10 times that amount in a week just by breaking these things and renouncing this stuff. And God's blessing him. And in turn, because God's blessing him, he's blessing our ministry, in which we can in turn bless others. You see how it works? We need to get out from underneath the bondages that we've been in. Amen? So we need to ask for forgiveness. We need to be asked to be released from the curse that's been placed upon us, whether we placed it ourselves or whether our ancestors have placed it. We need to get out from underneath strange doctrines. Strange doctrines. Perhaps you're in a denomination that has a strange doctrine or has a doctrine they don't believe this, that, or the other. That's going to hinder you. That's going to hinder you in your walk. I know I was underneath one. It'll keep you from growing in the things of God because they say it can't. That's all been done away with. That's all gone. And it kept me, it hindered me from my walk. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God began to reveal these things and we asked to be loose from that covenant, we begin to grow in the things of the Lord. We begin to be delivered and set free. It was interesting, as we began to do this, the Lord set us free. We didn't ask for it, but God set us free through the blood of Jesus. You know, we don't talk enough about the blood, do we? We don't lift up the blood of Jesus. You know, and sometimes there are demons behind the curses that we pronounce upon one another. Let's look right quick. Our brother touched on it here today. I'm going to end with this in Proverbs chapter 6, looking at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Abomination brings a curse. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. There you go for you, the people that don't believe about abortion, that it's illegal in God's eyes. They're shedding innocent blood. There's a curse of God upon them. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. And here's the last one. He that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates it. He said the seventh thing is an abomination, didn't he? It's a curse. And too many times I've been in too many bodies where there's been discord. Perhaps you have too. Stand to your feet, please. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer, but I don't want to force you to pray it unless you want to pray it. If you don't want to pray it, if you want to stay where you're at, that's fine. And that's fine with God. He's not going to force himself upon you. But if you would, just repeat this prayer out loud. Let God know, but most importantly, let the enemy know that you're tired of being bound. You're tired of being in torment. You're tired of walking an ungodly life. One of the things that the Lord has shown me, that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to get as pure as we can. And it's a work that the bride does. We have to work at it. We have to do something. We have to adhere to the word. Amen. So I'm going to pray this prayer out loud, if you'll repeat it, and we'll see what the Spirit of God wants to do now. Amen? Just bow your heads. Let's go to the Lord. Repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that name that's above all names, I come to you and ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness of my sins. And the sins of my fathers. For I do see that I have transgressed your word. And I see that I have sinned against the seed of Abraham and against the children of faith. Father God, forgive me for my mouth, for my unruly tongue. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to help me now with my tongue, that my conversation will be yea, yea, or nay, nay. That I will not curse my brothers or my sisters of faith. Father, I thank you to release me now and my children and my children's children and my children's children's children from the curse that has been placed upon me. In Jesus' name. And from any effect of the curse. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, to forgive those who have made formulas against me or against my household. I ask you to forgive them in Jesus' name. Father, I hold it not accountable unto them. Father, I thank you now that I am released, that I am free to serve you in newness of spirit and newness of mind in Jesus' name. Every demon that entered in that kept the curse coming, in Jesus' name, I eject them now. I command them to come out in Jesus' name. All discord, all lying, all deception, in Jesus' name, come out now. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've heard us now, Lord Jesus. Repeat it. You've heard us now, Lord Jesus. Deliver us. Set us free from those things that have bound us. In your precious name. Let them go, people. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you to come out now, all of you, in Jesus' name. Any spirits that we have not called out, I command you to loose yourselves from them and come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, any demon behind any curse that's been spoken, any imprecation that's been spoken, any formula in Jesus' name, come out now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you now as these your servants, your people, have prayed this prayer. Father God, I pronounce the blessings now of Abraham upon them. I pronounce blessings, Father God, when they come in and when they go out. The blessings of God, Father God, upon their hands, what they put their hands to. Father God, the blessings, Father God, upon their ears, what they put their ears to, what they listen to, that be blessed with the word. What they put their eyes to, Father God, that they not look upon those or lust after things of the world, but Father God, they look upon the word, Father God, and look upon how they can produce your kingdom upon this earth. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I ask the blessings to come now. Father God, that they be blessed abundantly in all that they would do, Father God, with their hands. All that they would say, Father God, according to your word, Father. The blessings of your word as they are propagated with their mouth, Father God. Bless them now. In Jesus' name, Father God. Bless them to bring forth your kingdom of righteousness upon this earth now, in Jesus' name. Bless them to speak good about one another, not evil, in Jesus' name. Bless them, Father God. Bless them, Father God, to begin to help one another and not tear down or destroy one another in Jesus' name. Bless them now. I ask it and I loose these blessings upon your people in Jesus' name. And all said, amen, amen and amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Is it time for supper? It's time for supper. Okay, can't go on with ministry. Hallelujah. Well, it may go long. Huh? Prayer? What do you say? You want prayer? Okay, those that want prayer, just come on up here, and we'll just loose the others of you. Let's loose our brother here, excuse me. Okay? All right. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the food that's been prepared. We thank you, Father, that it's good, it's nutritious for our body here. I ask the blessing upon it, Father God. And I thank you for the finances, Father, in Jesus' name, for all that's been given to us here. Father, I thank you now to bless the people as they go in to partake of this food and their conversation, that it be a right with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we thank you for this P.S. We thank you for the service coming up. Holy Spirit, that you can do whatever you want and you desire in it. Bless the speaker, whomsoever it is, that he be anointed vessel or she be an anointed vessel to bring forth truth and to set us and liberate us once again, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.